lovely cushion header. Pacheco! Oh, Yakuza! What a headshot! What a headshot! Well, you take a second in these circumstances. What you have to say.
Whoa, I'm trying to hold my phone up. Everyone, if you're listening to this on the podcast, you're probably there wondering what's going on. We are live on Periscope, and I am joined by two fine people who I've never spoken to before, which is going to make things a bit more interesting. So let's go. We're getting back to our roots, people, you know, just getting all kinds of randoms on the podcast, and I love it that way. So first off, I'm going to introduce a fellow Australian. He's there. His name is Oscar. How are you, man?
I'm good, mate. I'm good.
Good, good, good. Quickly, just, thanks, Rich. Rich is on the Periscope. By the way, everyone who joins, before I go any further, if you're watching this, I am on live on Periscope, as per usual. If you're on here, please retweet. That'll be really appreciated. Join in the conversation. We're all here to talk to you people and to get your feedback and buy-in and all that good stuff. Anyway, back to Oscar quickly. Just a really quick one of where in the world are you, because I recognize your accent.
Yeah, so I'm in exactly the same place as you. I'm in Sydney, Australia.
Yeah, buddy. Nice. Australia.
the best city in the world.
The best city in the world. Love it. The hub
Apart
of
from Liverpool.
Yeah, the hub of worldwide Liverpool support. It's got to be the way that it's done. So, and next, all the way from a whole different part of the planet, we have Jeremy Kores. Jeremy, how are you, man?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Sorry about my terrible American accent. I apologize greatly. So,
yeah, you know, it's not really an accent. It's more just, you know, we have our own dialect up here. Yeah.
I love it. Where in America are you from, man?
I'm from Michigan, which is in the Great White North, almost to Canada.
So. Nice. There's an account out there called LFC Michigan as well, I think. And they
is
talk,
there?
Yeah, he's quite rabid on Twitter. I think I've had a couple
is
of
he?
Run-ins with him. Yeah. I can't remember if he's a good one or a bad one. I completely forget. If you're there, LFC Michigan, I hope you're a good one. So we've got enough crazies on Twitter. Don't be one of those. Anyway, folks who are out there listening, we got a jam-packed full of stuff because we won in September, finally. So if you're out there listening
yes,
to episode, yeah, if you listen to episode 108 or you're listening to our friends, you heard us also on the LFC Day Trippers. Big shout out to those great guys. So we had the Tea Rippers, I think they called it, for any Australians out there. So that was a great podcast, George and Pete talking about all things Liverpool and how we hadn't won yet in September. Well, we finally won. So yeah, I thought let's get back to our roots, get some new people on. So let's go back to Oscar. I'm going to ask you the same two questions we ask everybody and anyone out there on Periscope. If you want to send us questions, please do. Oscar, first thing, as you've already just done it, tell us where you're from. How about number two, the question, why the hell do you support Liverpool on this side of the world, far away?
I actually got my support comes from my granddad, who is Irish, but when he was 10 years old, he moved to Kirkdale in Liverpool with his family. And he grew up in Liverpool before moving to Australia when he was in his mid-20s. So he kind of gave me the Liverpool bug early. Yeah.
Wow, that's decent. Like my dad moved to Liverpool when he was 27. So to move there at 10, yeah. That's decent. We got our first question. I'm going to ask it straight to you. Sorry if we couldn't see quickly who the person who said it was. But the question was, is Moreno finished? Controversial. So Oscar, why don't you take it since you're the first one to talk?
Yeah, well, I think that's a ridiculous question. You can see that he's been on fire lately, really. I think that he's been one of Liverpool's best players so far this season. Yeah. And I'll admit that I did think he was finished at Liverpool. I thought he was gone.
Yeah.
When that bid came in, I think it was from Sevilla, I thought he was gone.
Yeah.
But obviously Klopp's shown the faith and he's proved a lot of doubters wrong so far.
Yeah, so getting back to Spain, as we saw Diego Costa apparently, well, he is going back to Spain in January, so could have been him going back to his home club too. Yeah. Can I ask the same question of you, Jeremy? In regards to Moreno, do you want to start with Moreno first? Do you think he's finished?
I'm going to agree. I think that's ridiculous. I think he's really, I mean, he's always going to make his mistakes because he's so forward of a player, but I just don't. I I don't think he's put too many feet wrong this year. I mean, he's been incredible, I think. Nice. I think even against Leicester, he had a one or two shots that probably were on goal if they weren't blocked. So, I mean, he's been very positive, I thought.
Yeah, nice. Cool. Well, that's the first question out the way. So you guys in Periscope, I am watching my screen. Please keep asking the questions while I'm waiting for the next question to come through. Jeremy, why don't you tell us, why do you support Liverpool?
Well, it's kind of difficult to explain because in, you know, America, it's pretty well documented that, you know, we have our own sports up here. and I've never really, I mean, I like my share of, you know, quote unquote American sports, but I've always liked the real football better. Or as we call it, soccer up here. But it's,
we do in Australia too, so it's all right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I've always liked it just a lot better. There's a lot more drama, but I mean, I think why I support Liverpool, I mean, I don't know, because everyone here that does support, the Premier League is, you know, very much like bandwagon Chelsea, bandwagon Manchester United. And I was never really got into that. So when I did start watching, I think it was, I was super young. It really took to probably, I think it was Michael Owen.
Nice.
You know, which we don't, I know we don't say that name, you know, anymore, but,
he was amazing. Yeah, when he was here. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's, and then it just, you know, it took from there. And it's just been Liverpool ever since. I mean, everything down to, I mean, I rarely miss a game. I think I've missed one in the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
I grew up as Steven Gerrard as my hero. So
That's it. You don't need much more than that. Steven
Gerrard. No. Yeah.
And Hallmaster asked a question, but before we get to the question, I'm going to also agree. I mean, I was lucky to be born into a Liverpool family, so I watched a lot. But also, I've still, even though I moved from England in 1995 to this part of the world, Australia, I still followed the England football team. As disappointing and painful as it is to follow the English football team, the England football team. However, I think it's 1999, Argentina, Michael Owen, top corner against, well, yeah, Argentina. That's probably the last and only time I've absolutely lost my shit at an England goal. The closest thing is probably Sturridge recently when he scored that beautiful goal in the corner of the goal. But that Owen goal was something to behold based on the opposition, the quality of the goal itself. We can't, and also Owen was our last, you know, Ballon d'Or winner. So yeah, he made some pretty bad mistakes, but let's praise him for what he did for the club while he was here. So good on you for following.
Isn't it crazy to think that Owen was, by the time Owen was 20, he'd already won the Ballon d'Or and he'd already been the top scorer in two seasons. And you look at players like Rashford or Martial or whatever.
Yeah.
And I mean, Owen was just, he was a phenomenon. I can't even say that word.
Hey, quick question. How old are you, if you don't mind me asking, Oscar?
I'm 26.
26. Okay, so you might be just about old enough to remember when Harry Kewell joined Liverpool. Because we had a question from Hallmaster saying, were we happy when Harry Kewell joined? Give us your impression, because you're more Australian than I am. Far away.
Yeah, of course I was. I loved Kewell.
Nice.
He's a bit of a dickhead, but but just he was a great. Yeah, it was a great. It was a great player, and yeah, and when he turned it on for Liverpool, you know, he played some really good games for Liverpool as well. Yeah. But those few years at Leeds, he was incredible. So I was really happy when he joined. I was just sad.
He had some really big moments. I think. Yeah. I was about to say that if it wasn't for injuries, I mean, I think we would have seen a lot more big moments. But he still had his share. He definitely did.
Now, I know you can't really say the same thing, but I'll do a similar question over to you, Jeremy. What's been your favorite signing in the last 17 years for Liverpool?
The last 17 years, hands down, Balotelli. No, I'm just kidding.
I bought a Balotelli shirt.
Yeah, no.
Everyone knows that now.
Are we talking in retrospect, or are we talking at the time of the signing?
At the time of the signing.
At the time of the signing. That one's tough.
Balotelli was a popular signing at the time. All the people cheering outside Melbourne.
Yeah. I don't... That's a tough one. I really do. I mean, I do remember being a lot more excited about the Coutinho signing than most people, because I think I remember watching him in that Champions League game against Spurs, where he had like what it was like two or three assists when he was like 18 or 19 or something like that. And I just remember, watching that game, because I think that was when Gareth Bale came out and had a hat trick and then lost or something like that. And I just remember seeing this kid, like, I was like, man, this kid's going to be special. And then he kind of didn't really do a whole lot for Inter back after that. And, but I, when he came to Liverpool, I mean, I was pretty excited about it. I don't know if that was my favorite. I don't know. We don't have a whole... We don't have a whole slew of signings, right?
I've got one in mind
to get excited about it, Liverpool. Yeah. But
I've got a couple in mind. But while you think about that, how about we pass off? Hey, Colin Foy, by the way, thanks for joining, buddy. Everyone else who's joined, hello, hi to you. We'll pass it back to you, Oscar. What's been your favorite signing of the last 17 years? So we'll go from 2000 onwards.
It's really tough, But it's a weird one, but when I was a kid, I loved Milan Baros before he signed for Liverpool.
Yeah, that's a good one, actually,
Because he played, I think it was the 2002 World Cup. Yeah, 2002 World Cup in Japan. And I remember him being incredible for the Czech Republic. And I was like, I was so stoked when we signed him, you know. And it didn't really end up going as well as I thought it would, but...
No, it's a bit of a shame. Guys on Periscope, Colin Foyce is Duf, lol. So, he had a good World Cup too. Guys on Periscope, if you could shout out your favorite signings over the last 17 years from year 2000 onwards, shout them out. I'll start saying my thing. If you guys write down stuff, I will stop myself and start reading them out. So my two that I got most excited about, number one was definitely Torres. I remember him because I knew he was huge in Atletico. And so Colin Foy says Suarez, Scottish Red says Torres, same as me. And I knew he was a top, top class striker. I didn't think he was going to be as good as what he turned out to be. But my mate Sam Fong from down the road, he's a huge Liverpool fan. Now, guys, by the way, on Periscope, I'm talking about what you were most excited about at that point in time. So the time that we signed them, not our best signing over the last 17 years, but the point in time that you're most excited about when we announced the signing. So when we announced Torres, and I remember him in preseason, and he was slotting away goals left, right, and center, and I'm going, holy shit, this guy might actually be really good. And me and my mate Sam used to play a lot of Pro Evo soccer back then. And so we started playing. Holmaster says, what's Klopp's percentage of wins in his first 99 matches? Got no idea. I don't even know if he's played 99. Has he played 99? anyway.
I think he's got over 100.
Yeah, must have. I don't know. It's probably about 50, 60%. Colin Foy says, Robbie Fowler's return got me really excited. And Robbie Fowler himself, he said it many times. I've seen him live a lot of the time. He says that his favorite moment of his career was coming back to Liverpool. He said he got even more tingly the second time that he came back. So... he's a big favorite, obviously, in Australia. Played in two clubs down here. Didn't do anything too great, but he loves coming to Australia. So, love seeing God. And the other one I was going to mention was Mascherano, because he was in West Ham the same time, wasn't he, as Tevez? Was that correct? It was because they got that weird underground third party dealing crap.
I remember being so shocked when they got both of those two, because they just killed it at the 2006 World Cup, I think.
They were mental, weren't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
So Tevez goes off to Man United and Mascherano comes to us, and I've really wanted Tevez, clearly. But the fact that the fact that we got Mascherano at the time, I was like, how are we getting these absolutely world-class players coming to Liverpool? I didn't understand it, because we've never really bought world-class players, except for back in the 70s and 80s. You know, buying Kenny was a big coup. Paying nearly £1 million for Lawrenson, that was 1981. That's before I was born, you know, or 1980, whatever it was, to sync up with Hansen. You know, these are big, big signings back then. But since the 90s onwards, you know, Paul Ince, you know, shit like that coming to us. Whenever yeah. I remember when Souness took over. Colin's older than me. I know. I'm 35, man. So I can only talk for that kind of history. But yeah, when Souness took over and everyone started retiring and started replacing them with people, man, it got a bit tough and was never really overwhelmed with too many of the signings, except for Stigginger Bjørneby. I really liked him when he signed, but that's before 2000.
Collymore was a pretty big signing, wasn't
yeah, he? Yeah, he was huge yeah. signing. Neat. Yeah. He was instrumental in the 4-3 Newcastle game, wasn't he? I don't know. Sammy Hoopier. No bullshit you were excited about Sammy Hoopier, Colin Foy. Fuck off. Don't lie. No one was excited about Sammy Hoopier. He was from like Willem Twee and he cost £500 or something.
Can you imagine if Klopp went out and bought a player like that now? Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know. Colin says, don't get like that. Like, don't lie. I don't know. And I didn't have social media back then, but I certainly wasn't excited about about Sammy Hoopier signing. I was like, Sammy Hoopier? Who the hell's that? Willem Twee? Yeah, anyway. Okay, Hallmeister says Lucas was sent off in the Olympic semi-final for a challenge on which of his Liverpool teammates. Ooh. Hmm. Anyone know the answer?
Which semi-final was that?
Olympics semi-final. Lucas was sent off against a Liverpool teammate. Olympics would be.
So it's still under 23, right?
Do we get a clue? Wait, that's a tough one.
It's Australian player. Must be Harry Kewell, surely.
Yeah.
Must be.
Brad Jones.
To be Brad Jones.
No. Big Aussie Brad, Fenerbahce superstar. Yeah, I don't know. Was it Harry Kewell? That's a good question, by the way. So if you guys have got some more quizzes for us, that'd be fantastic. Anyway, moving on. I'm going to throw some stats out because I'm a stats geek. Sorry, but that's it. Okay, let's go. I've got some stats about Spartak Moscow because we're facing them at... I might have to ask you this one. What am I talking about? I've forgotten your name. Oscar, shit. Sorry. Is it a 4:30 game again for us?
I think all the group games are 4:45 a.m.
Okay, sure. Okay, 4:45 a.m. What time is it going to be in Michigan?
Jeremy? 2:45 p.m.
P.m.? Ah, that's right. So you can PM. Get off. Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, sweet. Mm. Okay, so it is Champions League. We're playing over there. I'm just saying for any of our traveling Reds, please be careful as fuck. Pardon the language, but I'm so scared.
Yeah.
I do not have...
Especially after that World Cup, all that World Cup shit. Yeah. Like, Jesus.
Man. I think one of the Manchester teams are in Moscow at the same time as well. True. So it could be.
Oh, jeez.
I'm genuinely scared that someone's going to get very seriously injured or worse this trip. I don't know why. I got it in the back of my head. So please be careful out there. It's not cool. So don't start fights. Just walk away, walk away, walk away. Okay. Anyway, on to stats. You mentioned this guy before. It'll be interesting if you get it right. Actually, I kind of gave it all away. Okay, Holmaster has a question for us. Under how many managers did Lucas play for Liverpool? He's been asking Lucas questions all night. Oscar, you have first choice.
Under how many managers?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think Rafa bought him.
Rafa bought him.
Yeah. And went to Roy Hodgson. Rafa, Hodgson, Kenny.
Kenny. Brendan.
Then Klopp. So five.
Had to be five. Yeah.
That's it. Great question. Keep them coming, Holmeister. I like this. We're saying five.
more Lucas questions.
We need more Lucas. Okay. Stat. Spartak Moscow versus Liverpool. In 2002-2003, they met, that's in Liverpool and Spartak, in the Champions League group stage with Liverpool winning 5-0 at Anfield and 3-1 in Moscow. With which player netting all three Reds' goals in Moscow?
What year was this?
This is 2002-2003. Jeremy, you get first shot.
Oh, my gosh.
And Periscope, send out your questions. Colin says Gerard.
2002-2003. I was like 11.
You can do it. A guy which called Chelsea three? Loyal has just joined. Chelsea Loyal.
Chelsea Loyal.
Liverpool Periscope. Thanks for joining, yeah. Brother.
Thanks someone, for listening.
Someone in Periscope yeah, got it right just then, so...
I have absolutely no idea, honestly. Okay. I really have no idea.
That's right. Do you want to take a guess, Oscar? 2002, 2003? Three goals.
I have no idea as well. I'm just going to go for Milan Baros.
Why not?
Wow.
Taylor Jarrett got it right. It was Michael Owen netting all was three goals. And Scottish Red got it right as well. That's all right. I'm liking these. These are my questions, by the way. Woo! Nice. The Reds have made seven previous visits to Russia and the USSR, winning three and losing four. Their other win, besides at Spartak and Rubin Kazan, was a 2-1 victory versus Spartak Vladikavkaz in the 95-96 UEFA Cup. There's no point even making a question about that because it's just too random. Jesus. Nope, these are all hard. Only two hat-tricks have been scored away from Anfield in Europe by Liverpool, both by one player. Oh, well, I've already given that away.
Yep.
Oh, dear. Oh, my God, this is one for our New Zealand followers. Michael Owen scored against a hat-trick against Spartak Moscow and FC Haka, as in H-A-K-A, like the New Zealanders, in 2001. Weird. Okay. That's weird. I'm trying to find like a good question. Daniel Sturridge played against Spartak in a 4-1 home win for which club in November 2010, coming on as a second half substitute?
Chelsea.
I'm gonna say City.
Yeah, it was Chelsea.
Was it City?
Yeah, it was Chelsea.
Yeah.
See you, Colin Foy. Thanks for joining. Scottish Red says Chelsea as well. Congratulations. You get five love hearts. Marcia Carly says Chelsea as well. Holmeister says City. Holmeister or Holmaster, stick to Lucas questions.
Was City even a club in 2010?
Ooh.
Did they have like a whole 11 players or what was going on with them?
So
bad. I think Sven Goran Eriksson was manager of City in 2010. Yeah.
About that. No, he was before then, wasn't he? Because
I don't know.
Who cares? City or yeah. Place. Jesus. Okay. Roberto Firmino missed a penalty in match day one against Sevilla. The first to do so in Europe since which player against Trabzonspor in Anfield in August 2010?
2010.
Who missed a penalty against Trabzonspor?
I mean, who was our penalty taker in 2010? Wasn't that Gerrard?
No. This one's a little obscure.
2010.
Periscope, who do you think it's going to be? He's the first player since Firmino to miss a penalty in Europe.
Who would be the penalty taker? Is he good?
I would have thought it would have been Gerrard.
Yeah, you'd think that'd be the natural one, but it's not Gerrard.
Was it Torres?
Stuart Downing or something.
Or Stuart Downing, yeah. Stuart Downing.
He didn't come along.
Hit the post. Hit the post, probably.
He didn't come till Kenny era, so that'll be 11-12. So.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm a real Liverpool stats geek. Sorry, I apologize. This player did end up going out on loan to France. I'll give you that hint. And played with Eden Hazard.
In France?
Yeah. So we loaned this player out to France, and he played with Eden Hazard, and we were thinking that he was going to be part of the deal to bring Eden Hazard back to Liverpool, but it never happened. So that's my hint.
What position did he play in?
He was like an attacking midfielder.
Yeah, you got me on that one.
He got
I'll give you another hint.
He got a red card for Liverpool on his debut, I think against Arsenal, the same game when Pepe Reina screwed up and the ball went into the goal. Not Diouf, not Ingo, says Kalen Jarrett.
I mean, red card tells me Lucas, but...
No. He's English. I'll give you that as well.
He's English. Okay. Yeah. Jay Spearing.
No. Okay. Last hint. Last horrible hint, and you'll get it for sure. A quote from Steven Gerrard. You should see the things he can do.
It's Joe Cole.
It's Joe Cole.
Joe Cole.
Joel bloody Cole.
As soon as you said a quote from Steven Gerrard, I knew.
Yep.
Things he can do in training. It's like, yeah, exactly. It's painful. Thanks, Marcia Carly, for asking. Here's a good one. Firmino could make which number of appearances for Liverpool his Liverpool career in the upcoming game if he plays? How many appearances has he had in total for Liverpool?
I'm going to say 100.
Yeah.
Bang on. 100. Yep. Scottish Red says, I had Cole on the back of my strip then. Oh, you poor bastard.
Oh, God. That's almost as bad as Balotelli.
Balotelli. Oh, no. No one's going to beat my Balotelli shirt. No. I'm sure more people have bought his shirt. Just you guys are too pussy out there to actually. Pardon my language. Sorry.
I've got a mate who's a United fan that has Tyler Blackett on his shirt.
Oh my
god! Oh, so that's
wow. Because I genuinely ordered Ben Woodburn on my shirt. Well, Woodburn early in the season, but then I got advised by my friends that he's likely going to change his number, so I cancelled my shirt. And I just got a no-name shirt. I want my bloody Woodburn shirt. That'll be brilliant to be walking around. Okay.
I think that's a safe bet.
Yeah, no. Okay, finding another one. Okay. How many in the Reds' 10 games, how many games has Klopp wore a suit? Holmaster, that's a shit question. Come on, man. Okay.
I think the answer is one. League Cup final. He wore a suit in the League Cup final. I remember that.
Oh, well done. Nice one.
I think so. Yeah.
The Reds have played 10 games this season and produced how many goals?
10 games. Two, three.
Hullmaster says twice that he's won a suit, by the way.
Damn.
Twice? What was the other time?
I don't know.
All right, probably Periscope, Europa League final.
How many goals has Liverpool have the Reds produced in our 10 games this season? Give us your best guess.
Well, we had, what, 5 or 4 against Arsenal?
I had 3.
18.
3.
I don't know.
Say 22.
Up.
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 23.
All right, I'm going to give you a little. We have scored 38 goals.
What?
10 games?
That sounds insane.
Wait, let me just
realize. Oh, well, Hoffenheim, yeah.
Actually, I think what it's meaning, this because it reads a bit funny. The Reds' 10 games this season have produced a total of 38 goals. I think you may say...
Both sides.
Both sides. Sorry. Yeah. My bad. It probably is about 17 then. So you conceded 17. Yeah, sorry about that. But that's a hell of a lot of goals. In 10 games, nearly 4 goals a game. Are you serious? Mm. So anyway.
Yeah.
Interestingly, Spartak's 5-0 defeat at Anfield 2002 remains their heaviest ever loss in Europe. Interesting.
Until tomorrow.
Yeah. Spartak last season won the Russian title for the first time in 16 years, 7 points ahead of the nearest challengers, city rival CSKA. They scored just 46 goals in their 30 games but conceded only 27. Wow.
Jeez. Wow.
46 goals in 30 games but conceded. That means they conceded almost a goal a game.
A little less, yeah.
A lot of 2-1s.
Well, actually, we can't really talk because we usually concede around 40 goals, 45 goals in 38 games.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I know. I'm not the one asking the questions here, Nish, but I got one for you, Mr. England fanatic. How many different jersey numbers has Steven Gerrard worn for England? Shit. How many different jersey numbers?
I'm going to say 3. I think he started with like a higher one. Sorry?
Nope.
Shit. Oscar?
I'm going to say 2.
5.
Whoa, man.
5.
Yep. 16, 4, 10, 11, and 18.
Jesus.
So he's never had 8?
Nope. Not for England.
Huh. Who had 8?
So, that's weird. Hey, quick question back for you guys for Spartak Moscow. You have a quick guess on this one. Home and away, how many games have they won in the last 8 European fixtures? This is Spartak.
How many? What was the question again?
Spartak Moscow, home and away. How many European games have they won in the last 8?
In the last 8.
Yeah. Home and away.
Let's see. Those 8.
I have no idea. It's got to be a guess, man. Guess. You're thinking so hard.
I'm going to say
what is it, like 2 or 3? I know they've had a lot of draws, but I was looking at their form a couple days ago.
They have won 0. They haven't won a single game in the last 8 home and away fixtures.
Oh, wow.
Spartak Moscow.
Yes.
Awesome.
Awesome. Right. Well, building the confidence, Nish. That's good.
Yeah. Quincy Promes, we all remember him from the rumors and trumors, has been the leading scorer for Spartak's last two league campaigns. He is the club's leading scorer this season with 9 in league and cup, but is in doubt for this game. Woo!
Yes! Sorry,
Quincy! Wijnaldum might slice him open or something, I don't know. So,
yeah.
Nice. Luis Adriano was on target last Saturday as Spartak were held to a 2-2 at home by bottom club Anji. Bottom clubs, Anji?
Weren't they the guys that bought Eto a few years ago?
Yeah, and the really tall 6'9" or 6'11".
Oh, yeah.
Jesus.
Traore or whatever his name is.
The host had to rely on a 92nd minute goal from Lorenzo Melgarejo to rescue a point. Wow. So I heard someone, I think, on the Anfield Wrap saying that they expect if we don't wipe the floor completely with these guys, it'll be a joke because Spartak are in horrible form. So let's hope for the best. I'm sorry if I'm just totally.
We know how this always ends, though.
Yeah. I'm not gonna jump the gun on that one.
Yeah. Whoops. Sorry. Interestingly, our winger Salah is our top goal scorer. 6, Firmino 4, Mane 3. Who is back? Mane's back. Emery John with 2. Alexander Arnold with 1. Coutinho 1. Henderson 1. Sturridge 1. Own goals 1. Awesome. Okay, Hallmaster asked a question. Was Robbie Keane treated poorly by Benitez in our opinion? Who wants to take this first? Bit of a sideways, weird question.
It is a little sideways. I mean, poorly might be a strong word. I don't think he was treated great by Rafa, but I mean, I don't know. That is sideways. I don't know. I think it was somewhere in between. I really do. There's always two sides to a story, right? But I mean, it's probably somewhere right in between what we've heard from either side, I think. But I think it was obviously Rafa was doing something okay back then, so.
Yeah.
he was doing something right, but I don't know. I'm not going to just go out and say he was treated poorly. I mean,
it's a weird tweet. It's a weird question.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I think it falls somewhere in between. No, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, that one's completely sideways, but whatever.
Yeah. Odd. Holt, you can answer or not answer if you want to. that weird a question. Nice. Yeah, okay. Any other questions from you guys out there? Otherwise, I'm going to go on to actually talk about us for the first time since we've been talking stats and facts and boring crap this whole time. So let's talk about backlines, because that's interesting. I love Robbie and was disgusted. Sorry, Hallmaster. These things happen. It's life. I don't know how to say that.
Hallmaster likes all the underrated players, doesn't he?
Yeah, I know. Hallmaster's all about it. Okay, backline. We already know Karius is starting. Would you prefer to see Ward play? Either of you?
No.
No. Okay.
Awesome. No.
I would love to see Ward play more, but yep. I don't know if that warrants Karius being dropped, really. It's hard to say.
I'd like to see Ward play more, but I don't think the Champions League group stage is, you know, the stage I want him to see, see him play more in. You know what I'm saying? I think, overall, as good as Ward looks, I think that I would rather see Karius play in the Champions League.
I think if we're qualified in the last game or the two games remaining, then throw Ward in. I'd love to see him play in a dead rubber.
I have just as soon as I saw Ward play, I just got a huge sense of confidence and comfort. And you type in, if you go to Twitter and type in @podcastingcouch and Ward, just that and Ward, you'll see me just manspraying all about him for the last 2 years, 1.5 years. I've only been on Twitter for a year and a half on this account, so. Yeah, I love
that. He had a good loan spell. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, they obviously wanted to keep him. I think Ward is I think he's got a pretty promising future, but I think the ceiling is higher with Karius. I think the ceiling is not only higher with Karius as just individually, but I think the ceiling is higher as a defensive unit with Karius in.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think Karius would have cleared that ball against Leicester on the weekend, you know, the one that Mignolet gives away a penalty on. He would have been there about 20 seconds before Mignolet.
He would have cleared it about 10 yards outside the box.
He would have actually gone down with his hands like a goalkeeper and grabbed the ball with his hands. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You know, like a real goalkeeper.
In saying that, Nish... I agree with you about Ward, because there was a moment against Leicester in the League Cup where there was a free kick, and he just came to the edge of the 18-yard box and just smashed through about three Leicester players and claimed it.
So
like
good,
it was nothing.
And it was at the edge.
It was
of the
amazing.
Box. It was literally the edge of the box. It was amazing. When he grabbed it. Oh, I know.
And I don't think you will ever see Karius or Mignolet doing that. I don't think Karius is a goal line goalkeeper.
Yeah.
He's not really the one that goes up to claim crosses, but Ward just seems to be, dominate the air like that.
I think Karius, when he's, the problem with him right now is rhythm. I can't state that enough, honestly, with him. He started a few games for us last year, and then Miggs came in and played really well. So he was rightfully dropped. I mean, honestly, with Miggs playing as well as he did for that spell that he did last season. But it's, I don't know. I think Karius is very quick off the line when he's in rhythm, when he has a feel for the game.
Yeah.
But it's difficult to do that when you're getting a run out once every four matches.
Yeah, definitely.
As a keeper, it is. I mean, I think he can be a very proper sweeper keeper. That we need. I think he's the guy, in my opinion, he should probably eventually be the guy going forward that we should go with. But I think he takes a lot of pressure off that back line because of his ability to, he seems to be a pretty good athlete, and Mignolet to me is not.
Yeah. It's frustrating, isn't it?
It's very frustrating because he's very, very slow. It's not just the indecisiveness. It's the fact that he's indecisive and slow when he's coming off the line. You know, you got to be one or the other,
somewhere in between. Okay, onto the center backs. We know that Gomez is red carded, sadly, but only for one game because it's two yellows. So Lovren and Matip, is there any discussion about it? or clown?
Well, that's the preferred combo, but I don't know if it's going to happen because
I don't think it will.
Both, yeah, really? Both of them have such a bad record when it comes to missing games like this.
And
I know I read something about Lovren having some issues with a break in or something like that.
Wow.
So I don't know where his head's at.
Jesus.
I think Liverpool Twitter's going too far with this.
Yeah,
probably.
There were some weird people out there saying, oh, apparently the Sun is saying that Lovren's done an exclusive interview. Are you guys thick as shit?
Yeah.
Do you not remember? Do you remember Klopp coming out and saying to that reporter from the Sun, are you from the Sun? I'm not talking to you. Do you even know why? It is because the Sun wrote that article on Lovren's wife cheating on him. It was Lovren who told Klopp that's why he's upset. That's the reason why Klopp told the Sun reporter he's not talking to him. Come on, guys. Use your brain. If he has done an exclusive interview with the Sun, that's just ridiculous. And it's clearly not true. But
That would basically be him saying goodbye to Liverpool because the fans would never accept him back.
Holmaster, we're not doing questions about 1965 European Cups. Holmaster, please. No more Lovren. No more weird questions. I'm begging you, my friend. Please, no. Okay, so I guess Klavan goes in there then. Which player drops out?
Lovren.
Lovren and Matip?
Because I don't think Matip plays the left side, does he? As a center half?
Who, sorry?
I don't think he plays that left side of the center as a center back, does he? I've never seen him for us.
Klavan can do either.
Yeah, and Klavan can do either, so and Lovren clearly can't. He can barely play the left side himself, but I know he can't play the right side because he's left-footed. So
mentally did not look in it at the start. He worked his way into it, but oh my goodness. Yeah. And I don't want to see Klavan again, you know, deciding to help out Matip with the header and leaving his marker. And oh my Lord, just Christ almighty.
How far are we away from Emre Can playing center back for us?
Yeah.
Not again.
I
do not rate him in the back at all. Like, it's
no,
just
that was a joke, Nish.
Yeah, I know. I'm in some pain right now. Okay, left back, Robertson or Moreno or Milner. Let's go.
I think they'll probably have Moreno back there, but I wouldn't mind seeing Robertson.
Cool.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I don't think Moreno's going to play too. I reckon Moreno's going to play against Newcastle. So I'm going to keep Robertson because I think he deserves it. And I think Klopp is happy to rotate those two. Marcia Carley says Robertson as well. Thanks, Marcia. Keep it coming.
One thing to think about, too, is with the form that that they're in right now, which is undoubtedly bad.
Dying.
I think Klopp may use this game as, you know, kind of a tune-up game. You know what I'm saying? Try to restore a little bit of confidence in the side. So I think we might see Moreno in there going forward so we can, you know, in the attempt to bang away six goals. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think all these fast-touch fibers. Anyway, yeah, sorry.
I read something about Bardak having really, really slow defense. So,
right.
Yeah, I think that Moreno would be a good option in that case because hitting that overlap and just tearing them to shreds with Mane and Salah. You know?
Yeah, I don't see. I mean, as much as I mean, either one. I mean, Robertson's good going forward too. So, I mean, either one is okay for me. I'm not mad at either choice, but I see Moreno in there.
You know, when we know that a back line is so slow, you know what I'd love to see? Just ultra defensive and just have Mane, Salah, and you know, Firmino just up front. And just go, look, let's just play three central backs, two wing backs, two holding midfielders, and then everyone else can do whatever they want. We'll just kick the ball long.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Score three or four goals that way. So that's what I'd like to see. Anyway, right back. We have no Gomez. We have Trent. We have Milner. We have Ox. Who do you think's going to play?
Not Ox.
Not Ox. Not your namesake.
I think it will be Trent as well. Yeah.
Cool. Jeremy?
Yeah, Trent.
Trent. Periscope?
Yep.
Marcia? Marcia seems to be wanting to share her thoughts. So Marcia, do you think it's going to be Trent as well? If you're still here, we won't wait for you. Whole Masters just on a rampage now. Ox was a bad signing. Boss Trent Alexander Arnold. Okay, midfield three. We know Hendo's played a lot of games. I thought Jan played really well as the holding midfielder in the game before. Was it Burnley? I thought he played pretty well. Was it the game?
I think we'll see Grujic.
We'll
see Grujic. I think we'll see Milner. Probably Wijnaldum.
Yep. I think it was Redmen TV podcast. I think they said Grujic will be perfect for this game, predominantly because he's from Serbia and he's played Red Star Belgrade, and that fan base and that support, to him going to Russia, he'll be like, this is easy.
Yeah.
It's no problem. This is like being home, and that's his comfort zone, being surrounded by flares and crazy bastards trying to kill each other. So Holmas has now said, us people down here, as in down in Australia, don't get it apparently. So, you're not winning friends, Holmaster. Come on, man. How to win friends and influence people. You're not doing it. He's trying to burn the bridge as much as he can. I think Grujic would be perfect, but as more of a number eight, who do you think is going to be holding, Jan or Hendo?
I don't know. It might be Milner.
That's a good shout. That's a really good shout.
Mm.
Oscar?
I think it will probably be Milner as well, actually. Mm. And then you'll have Ginny, and I think you'll have either Emre Can or Grujic on the other position. As the two box-to-box guys.
Okay, yeah, cool. Makes sense. Emre Can or Grujic. Yeah, that's good. I like that. What about Coutinho? He doesn't slot into the midfield? The attacking midfield?
As a sub.
I think that Klopp will give Salah a rest. And I think that Coutinho will be playing in that same position that he played the beginning of last season.
Yep.
That left wing position.
A deadly stuff. And
Well, we're on fire then, so I hope, yeah.
Just need Lallana back as our attack midfielder.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
I keep forgetting about Lallana. But, you know, I think he's so important for the way that the team functions.
That's crazy, isn't it? You just see, I remember that midfield six was insane. We had Henderson, Wijnaldum, Lallana, Coutinho, Firmino, Mane. It was just, we tore everybody apart. It was beautiful to see.
Yeah.
So we'll have that. So front three. You're thinking it's going to be Firmino, Mane, Coutinho?
I wouldn't be surprised to see Sturridge come in for Firmino, actually.
Yeah.
I think Sturridge. I think Klopp didn't really consider him as an option in the Europa League a few seasons ago as an away game striker, but I think he's gotten a lot better at holding up the ball, and you can see that he's put on a lot of muscle, I think, in his upper body.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's whether that's instruction or something.
Yeah.
But I think he's gotten a lot better at holding the ball up now, and I think that he could be a good option in away games like this.
Yeah, decision making. Yeah.
He was very positive coming on for against Leicester. I thought
it was great, wasn't it? Marcia Carley says Sturridge for her as well, which is good. So good to see. Good choice. All right, cool. Well, that pretty much wraps it up. What do you think's the score going to be? And
I think we put away at least four. I think we put away at least four. Yeah.
Cool. I like it.
We'll undoubtedly concede one somewhere. But
from a corner. Oh Lord. Why?
we'll give away a free kick at the edge of the penalty area on the right side, and they'll just whip one in.
Holmaster saying 4-3 because he's ultra positive.
That'd be a great game. I'd love to see that.
Kaelin Jarrett says 6-1. Marcia Carley says 3-1. I'm assuming she wrote 31, but I'm assuming she meant 3-1.
I'm gonna go 4-1.
Money hat trick. 4-1. What do you think?
I think 2-0.
2-0. Cool. And your goal scorers?
I'm going to say Sturridge, and I think Coutinho is going to whip in another free kick.
Nice. Jeremy?
I think Sturridge puts away two. We might get one from a midfielder. I'm not sure which one yet. Be good to see Grealish score one if he starts. I would like to see him. I mean, it feels like, I mean, I think we know he's got the tools to play that midfield and play it well. It just maybe he lacks a little confidence, so it'd be nice to see him put one away.
Yeah. I'm going to go for the big, ballsy, don't give a shit, 6-0. What?
Hey.
It's gonna be messy. It's gonna be all kinds of disgusting, just disturbing. We're gonna have that Simpsons
yes, please.
Coming out going, stop, he's already dead.
Yeah.
People are gonna play that on repeat on Twitter. It's gonna be the gif of choice. Kaylin Jarrett says Genie to score away. Woo! Would love to see it.
Ooh, it's a big shout.
Yeah.
Big shout.
Da-da-da-da-da. Genie, why not? Yeah. Everyone would go off. So
it'd be fun.
Lovely cushion header. Pacheco!